Hello. My name is Adriana Arcia. I'm a postdoctoral fellow at Columbia University in nursing informatics, and my topic's a little bit different, so we're getting a little potpourri today. I'm going to talk to you about how do you access hidden populations. In this case, I used it for research, but you could also, if you get creative, I think you could apply it to accessing people who have public health needs. And I used advertisements on a social networking website, and it was a very cost-effective method for participant recruitment. And I think it's very important for me to say that I have no relationships to disclose. Facebook is not paying me to come and talk to you about this. On the contrary, I paid them. So, a little background. The purpose of the study was to identify childbirth preferences of NULLIPs in the first 20 weeks of pregnancy and some of the predictors of those preferences. And so this presented a real challenge. How was I going to get access to women who may not have told their family and friends that they're pregnant? Ideally, I wanted to get women the minute that they find out that they're pregnant and before they start making choices, before they start getting input from others, because I wanted to understand what leads them to choose a specific type of provider. And once they get into that system, they start getting feedback on their own preferences, and their preferences start to modify. So I wanted to try to do as best I could to capture that moment. And that first 20 weeks of pregnancy was sort of a proxy for that. But how was I going to get a national sample of these types of women short of, you know, packaging an insert with pregnancy tests? You know, I couldn't think of anything. And then I, you know, was using Facebook and found that I went on a trip or something, or I was about to go on a trip to Barcelona, and I started to see ads for Barcelona, something about Barcelona, in the sidebar, and I thought, oh my, there's a real potential there. And so I wanted to, the purpose of the presentation is to describe to you the method by which I used to get this national sample of eligible women and some of the recruitment possibilities that are there. So one of the things that limits our ability to do research is our ability to get participants. It's very tempting to go to the populations that are at our fingertips. We use the clinics, we use our community health centers, and although those people are certainly worthy of study and their conditions are worthy of study, maybe we have other research questions that we have to go further we have to work a little harder to get those populations to be able to study. And so one method that we can employ is to use online ads. Fewer hours of labor than things like flyering and going door to door or phone calls or there are any of the traditional recruitment methods, lower costs. You can have lower costs with internet ads. So one concern is, well, how representative are internet users of the general population? And the fact is that the digital divide is narrowing. Here you can see that on the left is all US adults, and you can see that there's quite deep penetration, especially in the younger age groups. We have 94% of 18 to 29 year olds using the internet, and 76% having broadband at home. And as you know, obviously we have some decline in the older age groups, but these numbers have been rising rapidly for some years. And then among internet users, 87% of 18 to 29 year olds are using social networking websites. So the uptake is really, really high. And actually, I haven't looked lately at the numbers, what the penetration is of landline use, but landline use is going down. So there's going to come a point where this is going to be a better way of getting a large national sample than random digit dialing. So a little bit about Facebook specifically. It has more than 950 million users worldwide, and I prepared this slide a month ago, so who knows what it is now. 58% at least use the site daily, and it allows for highly targeted advertisement, like I talked about. There's, you know, a keyword pops up, or there are attributes that you've made publicly available on your profile, and you can target ads specifically to that. There are a few published reports of people recruiting samples of participants from Facebook ads, and the recruitment costs have ranged anywhere from you know, $4.28 to $20 per participant, which when you think about it is, that's pretty good for recruitment costs that, that compared to other methods can be quite low. So a little bit about the methods. This was a cross-sectional descriptive survey, totally anonymous. I obtained informed consent from the respondents, and it was approved by the IRB at the university. This was conducted at the University of Miami. And I had very strict inclusion criteria. I wanted women of childbearing age within the 50 U.S. states and D.C., pregnant at 20 or fewer weeks gestation. I wanted to include women who may have had a spontaneous or elective abortion because the population of NELPS contains many of those women, but I wanted to exclude women who may have had prolonged exposure to prenatal care. So no prior pregnancies beyond 13 weeks gestation. And these were NELPS who could read and understand English and have internet access. So my procedure was that I used the self-service application that Facebook has on their website to create and manage the ads. And the targeting capabilities that I used were that I made sure that the ads were only visible to women aged 18 to 44 and living in the U.S. And that way I was maximizing my spending. I was making sure that I was targeting my spending to the women who were most likely to be eligible, and also doing my best to preserve the validity of the study by not exposing people who wouldn't be eligible, not giving them the chance to access the study. And I used the cost per click model in which I was only charged when somebody actually clicked on the ad. It could be seen many times, but only when somebody actually clicked on it would I get charged. And whether or not an ad gets shown depends on an algorithm that takes into account how many people are in that audience that you've specified. If I were to specify, you know, 27514 as the zip code, then that's going to be a much smaller audience than if I specify the whole U.S. And I put, you know, my maximum bid is $1.10 per click or 90 cents per click or what have you, and then how well an ad has performed in the past. So it preferentially shows ads that have done well. If an ad is not performing well, it kind of peters out. And they'll still show it a little bit, but it doesn't really get a lot of play. It's kind of like top 40 hits. The ones that are popular get played more and more and more. And that's what happens with the ads. So it kind of goes into this marketplace where the ads sort of compete with each other, and the ones that do well are the ones that are shown more frequently. So it is a good idea to create a campaign in which you have the same text or and multiple images, or one image and multiple different versions of the text, so that you can see what works best for recruiting people. I ended up running two different campaigns. I had one campaign with images of Caucasian women and babies, and another campaign with images of darker-skinned African-American and Hispanic babies, because I knew about this algorithm. And what I didn't want to happen was if the images of the Caucasian babies were more popular because there are more Caucasians using Facebook, that the images of the other people would be extinguished. I wanted them to sort of compete on their own merits. And so I separated the campaigns to make sure that each ad had a better chance of standing on its own. And that was actually ended up being a really good strategy. And then the actual cost of the ad is typically well below the maximum bid. This is just a ceiling that you give it, and it won't charge you more than a certain amount. So here's a screenshot of the self-service application. You can see that I specify the URL that they'll be directed to when they click the ad. And I can, you know, put in the headline and the text and the image. And then you can see on the right-hand side that I specified people who live in the United States are age 18 or older, and in this case, who said that they like nursing. And it gives me an estimated population reach. 1.2 million adults on Facebook say they like nursing, and a suggested bid there. It gives me a range of what they think I should bid for that ad. So a little bit about the results. I ran the ads for 18 weeks last year, and the ads were shown 10.5 million times. So that's how many times they were actually shown on the screen. to 7.2 million unique users. So some of them saw, I think the average was 1.2 times that 1.2 impressions per user, for a total of over 6,000 clicks, 5,963 of which were unique clicks, people who clicked only, you know, per unique user. So only 0.08% as a click-through rate in terms of how many clicks based on how many times it was shown. But that's sort of to be expected given that I was looking for women who were having their first baby. You know, not all these women are going to be pregnant. And you can see there it shows the impressions by age group. So 81% of the time the ads were shown to women who were 18 to 24. Here you can see a little bit about the ad performance. The cost per click was a mean of 63 cents per click, and I had about 48 clicks per day, so my cost per day was about $30. And it went anywhere from $6 a day to $43 a day, depending on, you know, how much action there was on the site that day. And the cost per click, the most expensive click, was 94 cents. So the total cost, $3,800 for an average cost of $11.11 per participant. As far as recruitment goes, that's pretty reasonable. Here you can see some examples of successful and unsuccessful ads. I thought, cute babies. Who doesn't like cute babies? Everybody's going to love that. They're going to click on that. It's going to be great. And the cute babies did not get a lot of traction. And one of the nice things about this was that I was able to change the content of the ads. I had to keep the text the same because that was IRB approved, but I could change out the clip art. The babies were all babies of friends of mine who had signed releases saying that I could show their child on the internet. But then the others were clip art images that I got. I tried this one of a woman looking, you know, smiling at her pregnancy test. People didn't like that one. Here, this lady in the purple dress, she did pretty well. She got 25.6% of the total clicks, but the real winner was the ultrasound. And so this was a real lesson learned, that women in early pregnancy, they're not really thinking about the baby yet. They're still thinking about themselves and the whole experience of pregnancy and what I'm going through. You know, this is still, that's down the road. Right now, they're focused on themselves and the life growing inside of them. So that was an important thing, and that's one of the values of getting those campaign metrics in real time. I was able to see day by day, this isn't working, I need something else, and I was able to go out and get additional images. So that ultrasound image, that was some weeks after I started that I realized I need to try something else. So here you can see a little bit about what happened. At least 5,963 clicks, a lot of people said, oh, research, it's not for me, I don't care. They dropped out. But most of the people who viewed the consent page did agree to participate. And then you can see I had a lot of ineligibility. More than half were ineligible, mostly because they were beyond 20 weeks gestation. That was the big one. I lost 400 people that way. And that was fine because it was really important to me to limit my sample that way. But you'll notice that there was dropout every step of the way, and that was another lesson learned. I knew it was going to be an issue, but you know, I had my questions that I had to ask. So, if you're going to do internet research, have a plan for dealing with missing data, because people get bored really quickly and they drop out. So the final number of women who answered any question beyond the eligibility questions was 344. Sample demographics. Mean weeks gestation, 11 and a half weeks. I was really excited about this. I really was tapping into women who are early in their pregnancies before they began making a lot of the decisions that were relevant to my study. And I think this is where the strength of this method lies, that I was able to get a sample that I challenge anybody to come up with a similar method that would get this kind of sample for that cost. And I think it has applicability for a lot of other things. In any case, you can see that the mean age was 20.9 years. They were quite young. Relatively representative in terms of race. Hispanics were a little bit underrepresented, probably because I only had it in English. I thought about doing it in Spanish and decided it's a dissertation. I need to ease in. And largest group was single. More than half reported household income of less than $15,000. And this was a little bit surprising because I thought that, you know, people with internet access, Facebook, that they would be more affluent. And that really wasn't the case. I'll talk a little bit more about that as well. And, you know, the fact that many of them were students, Their educational attainment was a little bit low, probably a factor of their age. Many of them are still completing their educations. So, not surprisingly, they're using the internet a lot. I was surprised that most of them were using the internet, or rather using the internet through their home computer or laptop, because I thought in this age group more of them would be using smartphones, and in that case it was only 17%. And they were using as many as 2, 3, and 4 methods of accessing the internet, but most of them had one main method they were using. And here, I asked them for their zip codes, and I mapped them out, and you can see I got a nice distribution. If you look at pictures of the United States at night from space, and you see the light grid, it, you know, this is a pretty good approximation of the distribution. I did have one marker in Alaska, but in order to zoom in so you can see it well, I cropped it out. So, conclusions. Noteworthy finding was that I got 344 geographically diverse respondents at a cost of only $11 each. 13.4% of my sample had not yet accessed prenatal care. So it was really a wonderful opportunity to get to these women that, how would I access them otherwise? And it required minimal time, minimal technical expertise. It's very self-explanatory. The ads may be best suited to young adults. If I had known that I was going to get such a young sample, I might have done an additional campaign that was limited to women over 25 so that I could oversample them. That would have been a strategy to do that. And there are a number of limitations. I thought about a lot about why are these women so young. And I think it's because they're the ones who have time to noodle around on the internet and to click on ads, and they may not be as savvy about avoid, you know, I've gotten to the point where I've put an ad blocker on my browser because I can't deal with all the visual noise. And, you know, the younger population may be more willing to engage with advertisements and have time to actually, you know, look at these things and spend time with them and do a 15-minute survey with very minimal compensation. So the value of the ad targeting itself, that depends on how much information someone discloses on Facebook. So if someone doesn't disclose their gender, they don't disclose their age, they don't disclose their zip code, then you're not going to be able to target them. It does depend on people's willingness to share that information about themselves. And during the time that I first investigated this method and the time that I actually did it and looking at it again now, the costs of the ads have risen. So as it becomes more popular, this is, you know, the costs are going to go up. The other thing is that the design, the interface, and the policies that Facebook has are subject to change without notice. So the original ads that I had designed were in a vertical format, and by the time it was time for me to collect data, they had gone to a landscape format. And just little things like that can affect, you have to be flexible. But then there are also policies, and they have, you have to be very careful not to fall afoul of the Facebook policies about nudity, about there are some limitations about what you can say about people's health. So if you're interested in this type of method, definitely read through that very carefully and understand what you can and cannot do. And then I did not attempt to oversample a specific age group, so I couldn't tell you how well that would work. Some implications for public health nursing. As I mentioned, it's really tempting to work with the populations that are right at our fingertips, but this gives us an opportunity to really reach out and answer those research questions that before would have been too difficult, too expensive to try to answer. I think that we can target people who may have started experiencing symptoms but haven't gone out and sought care for them. For things that are, you know, stigmatized conditions and behaviors, it's already been shown to be effective at recruiting people who misuse opioids. So there's evidence that this works for that type of population and for people who are geographically dispersed. Even when you don't have populations that are hidden, direct recruitment can really help you get around some of the logistical challenges of working within agencies. You all talked about how difficult it is to meet all those compliance requirements. This, when you're accessing people directly, then you're working with their, you know, just their willingness to be research participants. So that can help get around some of those obstacles. I'd like to acknowledge my grant funding and the institutional support that I've received both from the University of Miami and Columbia University. Are there any questions?
I think it's a great way to do it. Yeah, I'm interested in adolescent health, and it's hard, you can certainly access the teenagers in the schools, but sometimes it's hard to get into the schools. You can access, if you're looking for a particular medical diagnosis, you can sometimes find them in the clinic, but if you want to get a more broad population of, if you're 18 to 24-year-olds, for example, who aren't in college, you know, where you can access, you know, students for studies, this would be a perfect way to get to those students, non-students.
Yeah, exactly. If you're, when you think about, especially for childbearing women, a lot of them, they're healthy. They may not have any institutional affiliation because maybe they're in the workforce or not. They may not have a regular healthcare provider. That was the challenge that I was facing, and I was really pleased to be able to come up with a method to address that. Anybody else? Yes.
Financially, how that happens, is it clicking on the survey?
Yeah.
So does Facebook bill you, or how does that kind of work?
The way that I had it set up was that I wanted to, in order to ensure their anonymity, I had the Facebook recruitment and my survey completely separate. So I had my Facebook was, my survey was hosted by SurveyMonkey, and that was, you know, a monthly charge for that. And then, so that there was no way for me to identify them. And SurveyMonkey acts as a buffer between me and my participants because they mask the IP addresses. Then with Facebook, I maintain an account, I put my credit card on file with them, and I can set spending limits. So I had a campaign limit, you could also set daily spending limits. So if you say, you know, I just want to give this a try, I'm $10, see what happens. And you can set a $5, $10 limit per day, and once it caps out, it'll stop, and then you can actually track the metrics in real time. There are some very nice tools. It's very easy if you have a Facebook account, right under your name, like if you click, you can see create an ad, and you can just try it out without even finalizing it and see what it looks like, and it's quite nice. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that you had the 54% response rate from the under 50,000 income. A lot of what we hear when we're trying to do something like that is poor people don't have access to the internet, but apparently they do.
They do.
They do. They really do. Everybody's got a phone these days. I mean, it's a very limited number that doesn't have a phone.
Well, especially among the younger group. Right now, I'm working at Columbia University with a survey, a household survey called Wiser, that is in Washington Heights and Inwood, and it's a fairly low income, predominantly Dominican population, and the penetration of internet use is quite high. I don't know what the numbers are, but there it's mostly on smartphones. So that's something to consider if you're going to do something like this. You know, is it going to go? Is it, how well is it going to read on a smartphone? Anything else? Other questions? Well, thank you. It's been lovely talking with you today.
Thank you.